Hermaphrodite, I mean. The fake ranger. What do you think?
Jake, I wouldn't have been surprised had we been clobbered at any moment.
Since they didn't.
Well, I don't like to handle Gay when I'm not sharp. More mistakes are made in battle through fatigue than from any other cause. Let's sack in. Anybody need a sleeping pill?
All I need is a bed.
Princess, it's settled. We sleep. But I suggest that we be up before daylight. Let's not crowd our luck.
Sensible, agreed Jacob.
I shrugged. You men have to pilot. Didi and I are cargo. We can nap in the back seats. If we miss a few universes, what of it? If you've seen one universe, you've seen them all. Didi?
If it were up to me, I would lamb out of here so fast my shoes would be left standing. But Zebediah has to pilot, and Pop has to set verniers, and both are tired and don't want to chance it. But Zebediah, don't fret if I rest with my eyes and ears open.
Huh? Didi, why?
Somebody ought to be on watch. It might give us that split-second advantage. Split seconds have saved us at least twice. Don't worry, darling, I often skip a night to work a long program under shared time. Doesn't hurt me. A nap next day and I'm ready to bite rattlesnakes. Tell him, Pop.
That's correct, Zeb, but...
Zebby cut him off.
Maybe you gals can split watches and have breakfast ready. Right now, I've got to hook up Gay Deceiver so that she can reach me in our bedroom. Didi, I can add a program so that she can listen around the cabin, too. Properly programmed, Gay's the best watchdog of any of us. Will that satisfy you, duty-struck little broads?
Didi said nothing, so I kept quiet.
Zebby, frowning, turned back to his car, opened a door, and prepared to hook Gay's voice and ears to the three-house intercoms.
Want to shift the basement talkie-talk to your bedroom, Jake?
Good idea, Jacob agreed.
Wait a half while I ask Gay what she has. Hello, Gay.
Howdy, Zeb. Wipe off your chin.
Program. Running new retrievals. Report new items since last report.
Null report, boss.
Thank you, Gay.
You're welcome, Zeb.
Program, Gay. Add running news retrieval. Area, Arizona Strip north of Grand Canyon plus Utah. Persons. All persons listed in current running news retrieval programs. Plus rangers, federal rangers, forest rangers, park rangers, state rangers. End of added program.
New program running, boss.
Program, add running acoustic report, maximum gain.
New program running, Zeb.
You're a smart girl, Gay.
Isn't it time you married me?
Good night, Gay.
Good night, Zeb. Sleep with your hands outside the covers.
Didi, you've corrupted Gay. I'll run a lead outdoors for a microphone while Jake moves the basement intercom to the master bedroom, but maximum gain will put a coyote yapping 10 miles away right into bed with you. Jake, I can tell Gay to subtract acoustic report from the news retrieval for your bedroom. Hilda, my love, do you want the acoustic subtracted?
I didn't, but didn't say so. Gay interrupted. Running news retrieval, boss.
Report.
Reuters, Straits Times, Singapore. Tragic news of Marsden expedition. Indonesian news service, Palembang. Two bodies, identified as Dr. Cecil Yang and Dr. Edward Carter, were brought by jungle buggy to National Militia Headquarters, Teluk Batang. The district commandant stated that they will be transferred by air to Palembang for further transport to Singapore when the commandant-in-chief releases them to the Minister of Tourism and Culture. Professor Marston and Mr. Smythe Balisha are still unreported. Commandants of both districts concede that hopes of finding them alive have diminished. However, a spokesman for the Minister of Tourism and Culture assured a press conference that the Indonesian government would pursue the search more assiduously than ever.
Zebby whistled tunelessly. Finally, he said, "Opinions, anyone?"
"He was a brilliant man, son," my husband said soberly. "An irreplaceable loss. Tragic."
"It was a good Joe, Jake, but that's not what I mean. Our tactical situation now, here."
My husband paused before answering.
"Zeb, whatever happened in Sumatra apparently happened about a month ago. Emotionally, I feel great turmoil. Logically, I am forced to state that I cannot see that our situation has changed."
"Hilda? Dee Dee?"
"News retrieval report," announced Gay.
"Report?"
AP San Francisco via satellite from Saipan Marianas. TWA hypersonic semi-ballistic liner winged victory out of San Francisco International at 20 o'clock this evening, Pacific Coast Time, was seen by eye and radar to implode on reentry. AP Honolulu, U.S. Navy official. USS submersible carrier Flying Fish, operating near Wake Island, has been ordered to proceed flank speed toward site of winged victory reentry. She will surface and launch searchcraft at optimum point. Navy PIO spokesman, when asked what was optimum, replied, "No comment." Associated Press military editor noted that submerged speed of Flying Fish class and type and characteristics of craft carried are classified information. AP, UPI, add San Francisco winged victory disaster. TWA Public Relations released a statement, quote, "If reports received concerning winged victory are correct, it must be tentatively assumed that no survivors can be expected. But our engineering department denies that implosion could be cause. Collision with orbital debris, decaying into atmosphere, or even a strike by a meteor could, repeat, could, NDREP, cause disaster by mischance so unlikely that it can only be described as an act of God," end quote. TWA spokesman released passenger list by order of the Civil Aerospace Board. List follows. California.
The list was longish. I did not recognize any names until Gay reached.
Dr. Neil O. Brain.
I gasped, but no one said a word until Gay announced.
End running news retrieval.
Thank you, Gay.
A pleasure, Zeb.
Zebby said, "Professor, you're in command, Captain."
"Very well, sir. All of you, lifeboat rules. I expect fast action and no backtalk. Estimated departure, 5 minutes. First, everybody take a pee. Second, put on the clothes you'll travel in. Jake, switch off, lock up, whatever you do to secure your house for a long absence. Dee Dee, follow Jake, make sure he hasn't missed anything. Then you, not Jake, switch out lights and close doors. Hilda, bundle what's left of that Dutch lunch and fetch it, fast, not fussy. Check the refrigerator for solid foods, no liquids, and cram what you can into Gay's refrigerator. Don't dither over choices. Questions, anyone? Move."
I gave Jacob first crack at our bathroom because the poor dear tenses up. I used the time to slide sandwiches into a freezer sack and half a pie into another. Potato salad? Scrape it into a third and stick in one plastic picnic spoon. Germs were now community property. I stuffed this and some pickles into the biggest freezer sack Dee Dee stocked and closed it. Jake came out of our bedroom. I threw him a kiss en passant, ducked into our john, turned on water in the basin, sat down, and recited mantras. That often works when I'm jumpy. Then used the bidet, patted it, and told it goodbye without stopping. My travel clothes were Dee Dee's baby tennis shoes with a green and gold denim miniskirt dress of hers that came to my knees, but wasn't too dreadful with a scarf to belt it. I spread my cape in front of the refrigerator, dumped my purse and our picnic lunch into it, started salvaging. Half a boned ham, quite a bit of cheese, a loaf and a half of bread, 2 pounds of butter. freezer sacks, and the same for the ham. If Didi hadn't had a lavish supply of freezer sacks, I could not have salvaged much. As it was, I didn't even get spots on my cape. I decided that jams and jellies and ketchup were liquid within Zebby's meaning, except some in squeeze tubes, half a chocolate cake, and the cupboard was bare. By using my cape as a Santa Claus pack, I carried food into the garage and put it down by Gay, and was delighted to find that I was first. Zebby strode in behind me, dressed in a coverall with thigh pockets, a pilot suit. He looked at the pile on my cape. "Where's the elephant, Sharpie?" "Captain Zebby, you didn't say how much, you just said what." "What won't go, she can have." I hooked a thumb at the chopped up corpse. "Sorry, Hilda, you are correct." Zebby glanced at his wristwatch, the multiple dial sort they call a navigator's watch. "Captain, this house has loads of gimmicks and gadgets and bells and whistles. You gave them an impossible schedule." "On purpose, dear. Let's see how much food we can stow." Gay's cold chest is set flush in the deck of the driver's compartment. Zebby told Gay to open up, then with his shoulders sideways, reached down and unlocked it. "Hand me stuff." I tapped his butt. "Out of there, you overgrown midget, and let Sharpie pack. I'll let you know when it's tight as a girdle." Space that makes Zebby twist and grunt is roomy for me. He passed things in, I fitted them for maximum stowage. The third item he handed me was the leavings of our buffet dinner. "That's our picnic lunch," I told him, putting it on his seat.
"Can't leave it loose in the cabin."
"Captain, we'll eat it before it can spoil. I will be strapped down. Is it okay if I clutch it to my bosom?"
"Sharpie, have I ever won an argument with you?"
"Only by brute force, dear. Can the chatter and pass the chow." With the help of God and a shoehorn, it all went in. I was in a back seat with our lunch in my lap and my cape under me before our spouses showed up. "Captain Zebby, why did the news of Brainy's death cause your change of mind?"
"Do you disapprove, Sharpie?"
"On the contrary, Skipper. Do you want my guess?"
"Yes."
Winged Victory was booby-trapped, and dear Dr. Brain, who isn't the fool I thought he was not aboard. Those poor people were killed so that he could disappear.
"Go to the head of the class, Sharpie. Too many coincidences. And they, the blokes in the black hats, know where we are."
Meaning that Professor No Brain, instead of being dead in the Pacific, might show up any second.
"He and a gang of green-blooded aliens who don't like geometers."
"Zebby, what do you figure their plans are?"
"Can't guess. They might fumigate this planet and take it, or conquer us as cattle or as slaves. The only data we have is that they are alien, that they are powerful, and that they have no compunction about killing us. So I have no compunction about killing them, to my regret. I don't know how. So I'm running scared, and taking the three I'm certain are in danger with me."
"Will we ever be able to find them and kill them?" Zebby didn't answer because Didi and my Jacob arrived breathless. Father and daughter were in jumpsuits. Didi looked chesty and cute. My darling looked trim, but worried.
"We're late, sorry."
"You're not late," Zeb told them. "But into your seats on the bounce."
As quick as I open the garage door and switch out the lights.
Jake. Gay is now programmed to do those things herself. And you go, princess. And strap down. Seatbelt, Sharpie. Co-pilot. After you lock the starboard door, check its seal all the way around by touch before you strap down."
"Wilco, Captain."
It tickled me to hear my darling boning military. He had told me privately that he was a reserve colonel of ordnance, but that Didi had promised not to tell this to our smart young captain, and that he wanted the same promise for me.
Because the TO was as it should be. Zeb should command while Jacob handled space-time controls. To each his own. Jacob had asked me to please take orders from Zeb with no backtalk, which had miffed me a little. I was an unskilled crew member. I am not stupid. I knew this. In direst emergency, I would try to get us home. But even Didi was better qualified than I. Checkoffs completed, Gay switched off lights, opened the garage door, and backed out onto the landing flat.
Co-pilot, can you read your verniers?
Captain, I had better loosen my chest belt.
Do so if you wish, but your seat adjusts forward 20 centimeters. Here, I'll get it.
Zeb reached down, did something between their seats.
Say when.
There, that's about right. I can read 'em and reach 'em with chest strap in place. Order, sir.
Where was your car when you and Didi went to the space-time that lacked the letter J?
About where we are now.
Can you send us there?
I think so. Minimum translation, positive, entropy increasing, along tau axis.
My husband touched the controls.
That's it, Captain. I couldn't see any change. Our house was still a silhouette against the sky, with the garage a black maw in front of us. The stars hadn't even flickered.
Zebby said, "Let's check,"
and switched on Gay's roading lights, brightening our garage. Empty, and looked normal.
Zebby said, "Hey, look at that."
"Look at what?" I demanded and tried to see around Jacob.
"At nothing, rather. Sharpie, where's your alien?"
Then I understood. No corpse, no green blood mess. Workbench against the wall and floodlights not rigged.
Zebby said, "Gay Deceiver, take us home."
Instantly the same scene, but with carved up corpse. I gulped. Zebby switched out the lights. I felt better, but not much.
Captain?
Co-pilot?
Wouldn't it have been well to have checked for that letter J? It would have given me a check on calibration.
I did check, Jake.
Eh?
You have bins on the back of your garage neatly stenciled. The one at left center reads junk metal.
Oh.
Yes, and your analog in that space, your twin, Jake Prime or what you will, has your neat habits. The left corner bin read Iunk metal spelled with an I. A cupboard above and to the right contained Iugs and Irs. So I told Gay to take us home. I was afraid they might catch us. Embarrassing.
Didi said, "Zebediah, I mean, Captain. Embarrassing how, sir? Oh, that missing letter in the alphabet scared me, but it no longer does. Now I'm nervous about aliens, black hats."
Didi, you were lucky that first time, because Didi Prime was not at home. But she may be tonight, possibly in bed with her husband named Zebediah Prime. Unstable cuss, likely to shoot at a strange car shining lights into his father-in-law's garage. A violent character.
You're teasing me.
No, Princess. It did worry me. A parallel space with so small a difference as the lack of one unnecessary letter, but with house and grounds you mistook for your own, seems to imply a father and daughter named Jakob and Dea Thoris.
Zebediah, that scares me almost as much as aliens.
Aliens scare me far more. Hello, Gay.
Howdy, Zeb. Your nose is runny.
Smart girl. 1G vertically to one click. Hover.
Roger Dodger, you old codger.
We rested on our backs and headrests for a few moments. Then, with the stomach surging swoosh of a fast lift, we leveled off and hovered.
Zebby asked,
Didi, can the autopilot accept a change in that homing program by voice, or does it take an offset in the verniers?
What do you want to do?
Same LNL, 2 clicks above ground.
I think so. Shall I, or do you want to do it, Captain?
You try it, Didi.
Yes, sir. Hello, Gay.
Hi, Didi.
Program check. Define home.
Home.
Cancel any all inertials, transitions, translations, rotations. Return to pre-programmed 0 latitude, longitude, ground level. Report present location.
1 click, vertically above home.
Gay, program revision.
Waiting, Didi.
Home program, cancel ground level. Substitute, 2 clicks above ground level, hovering.
Program revision recorded.
Gay Deceiver, take us home.
Instantly, with no feeling of motion, we were much higher. Zeb said, 2 clicks on the nose. Didi, you're a smart girl.
Zebediah, I bet you tell that to all the girls.
No, just to some. Gay, you're a smart girl. Then why are you shacked up with that strawberry blonde? Zebby craned his neck and looked at me. Sharpie, that's your voice.
I ignored him with dignity.
Zebby drove south to the Grand Canyon, eerie in starlight. Without slowing, he said, Gay Deceiver, take us home. And again, we were hovering over our cabin. No jar, no shock, no nothing. Zebby said, Jake, once I figure the angles, I'm going to quit spending money on juice. How does she do it when we haven't been anywhere? No rotation, no translation. I may have given insufficient thought to a trivial root in equation 97, but it is analogous to what we were considering doing with planets. A 5-dimensional transform simplified to 3.
I don't know. I just work here, Captain Zebby admitted. But it looks like we'll be peddling gravity and transport, as well as real estate and time. Burroughs and Company, Space Warps Unlimited. No job too large, no job too small. Send $1 for our free brochure.
Captain, suggested Jacob. Would it not be prudent to translate into another space before experimenting further? The alien danger is still with us, is it not? Zebby sobered at once.
Co-pilot, you are right, and it is your duty to advise me when I goof off. However, before we leave, we have one duty we must carry out.
Something more urgent than getting our wives to safety? My Jacob asked, and I felt humble and proud.
Something more urgent. Jake, I've bounced her around not only to test, but to make it hard to track us. Because we must break radio silence to warn our fellow humans.
Oh, yes, Captain. My apologies, sir. I sometimes forget the broader picture.
Don't we all? I've wanted to run and hide ever since this rumpus started. But that took preparation, and the delay gave me time to think. Point number one. We don't know how to fight these critters, so we must take cover. Point number two. We are duty-bound to tell the world what we know about aliens.
While that little isn't much, we've stayed alive by the skin of our teeth. If 5 billion people are watching for them, they can be caught, I hope.
Captain, asked Didi, may I speak?
Of course, anyone with ideas about how to cope with these monsters must speak.
I'm sorry, but I don't have such ideas. You must warn the world, sir, of course. But you won't be believed.
I'm afraid you're right, Didi. But they don't have to believe me. That monster in the garage speaks for itself. I'm going to call Rangers, real Rangers, to pick it up,
I said. So that was why you told me just to leave it. I thought it was lack of time.
Both, Hilda. We didn't have time to sack that cadaver and store it in the freezer room, but if I can get Rangers, real Rangers, to that garage before Black Hats get there, that corpse tells its own story.
an undeniable alien lying in its goo on a ranger's uniform that has been cut away from it, not a close encounter UFO that can be explained away, but a creature more startling than the duck-billed platypus ever was. But we have to hook it in with other factors to show them what to look for. Your booby-trapped car, an arson case in Logan, Professor Brain's convenient disappearance, my cousin's death in Sumatra, and your six-dimensional non-Euclidean geometry. I said, "Excuse me, gentlemen, can't we move somewhere away from right over our cabin before you break silence? I'm jumpy. Black hats are hunting us." "You're right, Sharpie. I'm about to move us. The story isn't long, all but the math, so I taped a summary while the rest of you were getting ready. Gay will speed zip it, 100 to 1. Zebby reached for the controls. "All secure?"
"Captain Zebediah?"
"Trouble, Princess?"
"May I attempt a novel program? It may save time."
"Programming is your pigeon, certainly."
"Hello, Gay."
"Hi, Dee Dee."
"Retrieve last program. Report execute code."
"Reporting, Dee Dee. Gay Deceiver, take us home."
"Negative erase permanent program controlled by execute code. Gay Deceiver, take us home. Report confirm."
"Confirmation report. Permanent program execute coded. Gay Deceiver, take us home. Negative erase. I tell you 3 times.
"Dee Dee," said Zeb. "An egg scrub to Gay tells her to place item in perms 3 places. Redundancy safety factor."
"Don't bother me, dear. She and I sling the same lingo. Hello, Gay."
"Hello, Dee Dee."
"Analyzed latest program execute coded. Gay Deceiver, take us home. Report."
"Analysis complete."
"Invert analysis."
"Null program."
Dee Dee sighed. "Typing a program is easier. New program." "Waiting, Dee Dee." "Execute code new permanent program. Gay Deceiver, countermarch. At new execute code, repeat reversed in real time latest sequence inertials, transitions, translations, rotations. Before last use of program, execute code Gay Deceiver, take us home." "New permanent program accepted."
"Gay, I tell you 3 times. "Dee Dee, I hear you 3 times.
"Gay Deceiver, countermarch."
Instantly, we were over the Grand Canyon, cruising south. I saw Zeb reach for the manual controls. "Dee Dee, that was slick."
"I didn't save time, sir. I goofed." "Gay, you're a smart girl."
"Dee Dee, don't make me blush."
"You're both smart girls," said Captain Zebby. "If anyone had us on radar, he must think he's getting cataracts. Vice versa, if anyone picked us up here, he's wondering how we popped up. Smart dodge, dear. You've got Gay Deceiver so deceptive that nobody can home on us. We'll be elsewhere."
"Yes, but I had something else in mind too, my captain."
"Princess, I like your ideas. Spill it."
"Suppose we used that homing pre-program and went from frying pan into fire. It might be useful to have a pre-program that would take us back into the frying pan, then do something else quickly. Should I try to think up a third escape maneuver pre-program?"
"Sure, but discuss it with the court magician, your esteemed father, not me. I'm just a sky jockey."
"Zebediah, I will not listen to you disparage your..."
"Dee Dee. Lifeboat rules. Jake, are your professional papers aboard, both theoretical and drawings?" "Why no, Zeb, the captain. Too bulky. Microfilms I brought. Originals are in the basement vault. Have I aired?" "Not a bit. Is there any geometer who gave your published paper on this six-way system a friendly reception?" "Captain, there aren't more than a handful of geometers capable of judging my postulate system. Without long and intensive study, it's too unorthodox. Your late cousin was one, a truly brilliant mind.
now suspect that Dr. Brain understood it and sabotaged it for his own purposes.
Jake, is there anyone friendly to you and able to understand the stuff in your vault? I'm trying to figure out how to warn our fellow humans. A fantastic story of apparently unrelated incidents is not enough. Not even with the corpse of an extraterrestrial to back it up. You should leave mathematical theory and engineering drawings to someone able to understand them and whom you trust. We can't handle it. Every time we stick our heads up, somebody takes a shot at us, and we have no way to fight back. It's a job that may require our whole race. Well, is there a man you can trust as your professional executor? Well, one, perhaps. Not my field of geometry, but brilliant. He did write me a most encouraging letter when I published my first paper, the paper that was so sneered at by almost everyone except your cousin and this one other, Professor Seppo Räikkönen, Turku, Finland. Are you certain he's not an alien? What? He's been on the faculty at Turku for years, over 15. I said, Jacob, that is about how long Professor Brain was around. But my husband looked around at me and suddenly smiled. Hilda, my love, have you ever taken sauna? Once. Then tell our captain why I am sure that my friend Seppo is not an alien in disguise. I, Dee Dee and I, attended a professional meeting in Helsinki last year. After the meeting, we visited their summer place in the Lake Country and took sauna with them.
Papa, mama, and three kids, agreed Dee Dee, unmistakably human.
Brainy was a bachelor, I added thoughtfully.
Captain Zebby, wouldn't disguised aliens have to be bachelors?
Or single women. Or pseudo-married couples. No kids, the masquerade wouldn't hold up. Jake, let's try to phone your friend. Nearly breakfast time in Finland, or we may wake him. That's better than missing him.
Good, my comm credit number is Nero, Aleph.
Let's try mine. Yours might trigger something, if black hats are as smart as I think they are. Smart girl.
Yes, boss.
Don Amici.
To hear is to obey, O Mighty One.
Dee Dee, you've been giving Gay bad habits. Shortly, a flat male voice answered. The communications credit number you have cited is not a valid number. Please refer to your card and try again. This is a recording. Zebby made a highly unlikely suggestion. Gay can't send out my comm credit code incorrectly. She has it tell me three times. The glitch is in their system. Pop, we have to use yours.
I said, try mine, Zebby. My comm credit is good. I pre-deposit.
A female voice this time.
Not a valid number. Please refer to your card and try again. This is a recording.
Then my husband got a second female voice.
Try again. This is a recording.
Dee Dee said, I don't have one. Pop and I used the same number.
It doesn't matter. Captain Zebby said bitterly. These aren't glitches. We've been scrubbed. Unpersons. We're all dead.
I didn't argue. I had suspected that we were dead since the morning 2 weeks before, when I woke up in bed with my cuddly new husband. But how long had we been dead? Since my party, or more recently? I didn't care. This was a better grade of heaven than a Sunday school in Terre Haute had taught me to expect. While I don't think I'd been outstandingly wicked, I hadn't been very good either. Of the 10 commandments, I'd broken 6 and bent some others. But Moses apparently had not had the last word from on high. Being dead was weird and wonderful, and I was enjoying every minute. Or eon, as the case may be.
13. Zebediah. Not being able to phone from my car was my most frustrating experience since a night I spent in jail through a mistake. I made the mistake. I considered grounding to phone, but the ground did not seem healthy. Even if all of us were presumed dead, nullifying our comm credit cards so quickly seemed unfriendly. All of us had high credit ratings. Canceling Sharpie's comm credit without proof of death was more than unfriendly. It was outrageous, as she used the pre-deposit method. I was forced to the decision that it was my duty to make a military report. I radioed NORAD, stated name, rank, reserve commission serial number, and asked for scramble for a crash priority report. And ran into correct procedure that causes instant ulcers. What was my clearance? What led me to think that I had crash priority intelligence? By what authority did I demand a scramble code? Did you know how many screwball calls come in here every day? Get off this frequency, it's for official traffic only. One more word out of you and I shall alert the Civil Sky Patrol to pick you up. I said one more word after I chopped off. Dee Dee and her father ignored it. Hilda said, "My sentiments exactly." I tried the Federal Rangers Kaibab Barracks at Jacob Lake, then the office at Littlefield, and back to Kaibab. Littlefield didn't answer. Jacob Lake answered. "This is a recording. Routine messages may be recorded during beep tone. Emergency reports should be transmitted to Flagstaff HQ. Stand by for beep tone." Beep, beep, beep. I was about to tell Gay to zip my tape when the whole world was lighted by the brightest light imaginable. Luckily, we were cruising south with that light behind us. I goosed Gay to flank speed while telling her to tuck in her wings. Not one of my partners asked a foolish question, although I suspect that none had ever seen a fireball or mushroom cloud. "Smart girl."
"Here, boss."
"DR problem. Record true bearing light beacon relative bearing astern. Record radar range and bearing same beacon. Solve latitude longitude beacon. Compare solution with fixes in perms. Confirm."
"Program confirmed."
"Execute."
"Roger Wilco, Zeb. Heard any new ones lately?"
she added at once.
"Solution. True bearing identical with fix execute coded. Gay deceiver, take us home. True range identical plus minus 0.6 clicks."
"You're a smart girl, Gay."
"Flattery will get you anywhere, Zeb. Over."
"Roger and out. Hang on to your hats, folks. We're going straight up." I had outraced the shockwave, but we were close to the Mexican border. Either side might send sprint birds homing on us. "Co-pilot?"
"Captain?"
"Move us. Out of this space."
"Where, Captain?"
"Anywhere. Fast."
Can you ease the acceleration? I can't lift my arms."
Cursing myself, I cut power, let Gay Deceiver climb free. Those vernier controls should have been mounted on armrests. Designs that look perfect on the drawing board can kill test pilots.
"Translation complete, Captain."
"Roger, co-pilot. Thank you." I glanced at the board. 6+ clicks height above ground and rising. Thin, but enough air to bite. "Hang on to our lunch, Sharpie." I leaned us backward while doing an Immelmann into level flight. Course north, power still off. I told Gay to stretch the glide, then tell me when we had dropped to 3 clicks, H above G. What should be Phoenix was off to the right. Another city, Flagstaff, farther away, north and a bit east. We appeared to be headed home. There was no glowing cloud on the horizon. "Jake, where are we?"
"Captain, I've never been in this universe. We translated 10 quanta positive tau axis, so we should be in analogous space close to ours, 10 minimum intervals or quanta."
"This looks like Arizona."
"I would expect it to, Captain. You recall that one quantum translation on this axis was so very like our own world that Dee Dee and I confused it with our own until she picked up a dictionary."
Phone book pop, irrelevant, dear, until she missed the letter J in an alphabetical list. 10 quanta should not change geological features appreciably, and placement of cities is largely controlled by geography. Approaching 3 clicks, boss.
Thanks, Gay. Hold course and H above G. Correction. Hold course and absolute altitude. Confirm and execute.
Roger Wilco's, Ab.
I had forgotten that the Grand Canyon lay ahead, or should. Smart girl is smart, but she's literal-minded. She would have held height above ground precisely and given us the wildest roller coaster ride in history. She is very flexible, but the garbage-in, garbage-out law applies. She had many extra fail-safes, because I make mistakes. Gay can't. Anything she does wrong is my mistake. Since I've been making mistakes all my life, I surrounded her with all the safeguards I could think of. But she had no program against wild rides. She was beefed up to accept them. Violent, evasive tactics had saved our lives 2 weeks ago, and tonight as well. Being too close to a fireball can worry a man. To death. Gay, display map, please. The map showed Arizona. Our Arizona. Gay does not have in her gizzards any strange universes. I changed course to cause us to pass over our cabin site, its analog for this space-time. Didn't dare tell her, Gay, take us home, for reasons left as an exercise for the class. Dee Dee, how long ago did that bomb go off?
6 minutes, 23 seconds. Zebediah, was that really an A-bomb?
Pony bomb, perhaps? Maybe 2 kilotons? Gay Deceiver.
I'm all ears, Zeb.
Report time intervals since radar ranging beacon?
5 minutes, 44 seconds, Zeb.
Dee Dee gasped.
Was I that far off?
No, darling. You reported time since flash. I didn't ask Gay to range until after we were hypersonic.
Oh, I feel better.
Captain? Inquired Jake. How did Gay range an atomic explosion? I would expect radiation to make it impossible. Does she have instrumentation of which I am not aware? Co-pilot, she has several gadgets I have not shown you. I have not been holding out, any more than you held out in not telling me about guns and ammo, you... My apologies, sir. Oh, stuff it, Jake. Neither of us held out. We've been running under the whip. Dee Dee, how long has it been since we killed that fake ranger?
That was 17:14. It is now 22:20. 5 hours, 6 minutes.
I glanced at the board. Dee Dee's circadian clock apparently couldn't be jarred by anything. Gay's clock showed 05:20, Greenwich, with zone plus 7 display. Call it 5 hours. Feels like 5 weeks. We need a vacation.
Loud cheers,
agreed Sharpie. Check. Jake, I didn't know that Gay could range an atomic blast. Light beacon means a visible light to her just as radar beacon means to her a navigational radar beacon. I told her to get a bearing on the light beacon directly aft. She selected the brightest light with that bearing. Then I told her to take radar range and bearing on it, spun my prayer wheel, and prayed. There was white noise, possibly blanketing her radar frequency, but her own radar bursts are tagged. It would take a very high noise level at the same frequency to keep her from recognizing echoes with her signature. Clearly, she had trouble, for she reported plus-minus of 600 meters. Nevertheless, range and bearing matched a fix in her permanence and told us our cabin had been bombed. Bad news. But the aliens got there too late to bomb us. Good news. Captain, I decline to grieve over material loss. We are alive. I agree, although I'll remember Snug Harbor as the happiest home I've ever had. But there is no point in trying to warn Earth, our Earth, about aliens. That blast destroyed the clincher, that alien's cadaver, and papers and drawings you were going to turn over to your Finnish friend. I'm not sure we can go home again.
Oh, that's no problem, Captain. 2 seconds to set the verniers, not to mention the dead man switch and the program in Gay's permanence.
Jake, I wish you would knock off Captain other than for command conditions.
Zeb,
I like calling you Captain.
So do I, my Captain. Me too, Captain Zebby.
Don't overdo it. Jake, I didn't mean that you can't pilot us home. I mean we should not risk it. We've lost our last lead on the aliens, but they know who we are and have shown dismaying skill in tracking us down. I'd like to live to see two babies born and grown up.
Amen, said Sharpie. This might be the place for it. Out of a million, billion, zillion Earths, this one may be vermin-free. Highly likely.
Hilda, my dear, there are no data on which to base any assumption.
Jacob, there is one datum.
What did I miss, dear?
That we do know that our native planet is infested, so I don't want to raise kids on it. If this isn't the place we're looking for, let's keep looking.
Logical. Yes, Cap Zeb?
I agree, but we can't tell much before morning. Jake, I'm unclear on a key point. If we translated back to our own Earth now, where would we find ourselves? And when?
Pop, may I answer that?
Go ahead, Dee Dee.
The time Pop and I translated to the place with no J, we thought we had failed. Pop stayed in our car trying to figure it out. I went inside intending to fix lunch. Everything looked normal, but the phone book was on the kitchen counter and doesn't belong there. That book had a toll area map on its back cover. My eye happened to land on Juab County, and it was spelled Eob. And I thought, what a funny misprint. Then I looked inside and couldn't find any J's and dropped the book and went running for Pop.
I thought Dee Dee was hysterical, but when I checked a dictionary and the Britannica, we got out in a hurry.
This is the point, Zebediah. When we flipped back, I dashed into the house. The phone book was where it belonged. The alphabet was back the way it ought to be. The clock in my head said that we had been gone 27 minutes. The kitchen clock confirmed it, and it agreed with the clock in the car. Does that answer you, sir?
I think so. In a translation, duration just keeps chugging along. I wondered because I'd like to check that crater after it has had time to cool down. What about that one rotation?
Harder to figure, Zebediah. We weren't in that other space-time, but a few seconds and we both passed out. Indeterminate.
I'm convinced. But Jake, what about Earth's proper motions? Rotation, revolution around the sun, sidereal motion, and so forth. A theoretical answer calls for mathematics you tell me are outside your scope of study, Zeb?
Beyond my capacity, you mean?
As you will, sir. An excursion elsewhere, and elsewhen, and return, brings you back to where you would have been had you experienced that duration on Earth. But when requires further definition. As we were discussing, earlier this afternoon, but it seems longer, we can adjust the controls to re-enter any axis at any point with permanent change of interval for planetary engineering or other purposes, including re-entry reversed against the entropy arrow. But I suspect that would cause death.
Why, Pop? Why wouldn't it just reverse your memory?
Memory is tied to entropy increase, my darling daughter. Death might be preferable to amnesia combined with prophetic knowledge. Uncertainty may be the factor that makes life tolerable. Hope is what keeps us going. Captain?
Co-pilot?
We have just passed over North Rim.
Thank you, co-pilot. I placed my hands lightly on the controls.
Pop? Our cabin is still there. Lights in it, too.
So I see. They've added a wing on the west.
Yes, where we discussed adding a library.
I said, Family, I'm not going closer. Your analogs in this world seem to be holding a party. Floodlights show four cars on the grounding flat. I started Gay into a wide circle. I'm not going to hover. It could draw attention. A call to their sky cops? Hell's bells, I don't even know that they speak English.
Captain, we've seen all we need. It's not our cabin.
Recommendation?
Sir, I suggest maximum altitude. Discuss what to do while we get there.
Gay Deceiver.
On deck, Captain Ahab.
1G, vertical.
Aye, aye, sir.
How many answers had Dee Dee taped?
Anybody want a sandwich? Asked Sharpie. I do. I'm a pregnant mother.
I suddenly realized that I had had nothing but a piece of pie since noon. As we climbed, we finished what was left of supper.
That more?
Don't talk with your mouth full, Sharpie.
Zebby, you brute. I said, is that Mars? Over there.
That's Antares. Mars is, look, left about 30 degrees. See it? Same color as Antares, but brighter.
Got it. Jacob, darling, let's take that vacation on Barsoom.
Hilda, dearest, Mars is uninhabitable. The Mars expedition used pressure suits. We have no pressure suits.
I added, even if we did, they would get in the way of a honeymoon. Hilda answered,
I read a jingle about a space suit built for two. Anyhow, let's go to Barsoom. Jacob, you did tell me we could go anywhere in zip, nothing flat.
Quite true.
So let's go to Barsoom.
I decided to flank her. Hilda, we can't go to Barsoom. Moore's Kajak and John Carter don't have their swords.
Wanna bet? Dee Dee asked sweetly.
Huh?
Sir, you left it to me to pick baggage for that unassigned space. If you'll check that long, narrow stowage under the instrument board, you'll find the sword and saber, with belts, with socks and underwear crammed in to keep them from rattling.
I said soberly, my princess, I couldn't moan about my sword when your father took the loss of his house so calmly. But thank you, with all my heart.
Let me add my thanks, Dee Dee. I set much store by that old saber, unnecessary as it is.
Father, it was quite necessary this afternoon.
Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's to Barsoom we go. Captain, we could use the hours till dawn for a quick jaunt to Mars. Oh dear, I have to know its present distance. I don't.
No problem, I said. Gay gobbles the aerospace almanac each year.
Indeed, I'm impressed.
Gay Deceiver.
You again? I was thinking.
So think about this. Calculation program. Data address, aerospace almanac. Running calculation, line of sight distance to planet Mars. Report current answers on demand. Execute.
Program running.
Report.
Clicks. 22409027 point plus minus 980.
Display running report. Gay did so.
You're a smart girl, Gay.
I can do card tricks, too. Program continuing.
Jake, how do we do this?
Align L-axis with your gun sight. Isn't that easiest?
By far. I aimed at Mars as if to shoot her out of the sky, then got cold feet. Jake, a little Tennessee windage? I think those figures are from center of gravity to center of gravity. Half a mil would place us a safe distance away, over 100,000 clicks.
112,000, Jake agreed, watching the display.
I offset 1/2 mil. Co-pilot?
Captain?
Transit when ready. Execute. Mars in half phase, big and round and ruddy and beautiful, was swimming off our starboard side.
14. Dee Dee. Aunt Hilda said softly, Barsoom, dead sea bottoms, green giants. I just gulped.
Mars, Hilda, darling, Pop gently corrected her. Barsoom is a myth.
Barsoom, she repeated firmly. It's not a myth. It's there. Who says its name is Mars? A bunch of long-dead Romans. Aren't the natives entitled to name it? Barsoom. My dearest, there are no natives. Names are assigned by an international committee sponsored by Harvard Observatory. They confirmed the traditional name. Pooh! They don't have any more right to name it than I have. Dee Dee, isn't that right? I think Aunt Hilda had the best argument, but I don't argue with Pop unless necessary. He gets emotional. My husband saved me.
Co-pilot, astrogation problem. How are we going to figure distance and vector? I would like to put this wagon into orbit, but Gay is no spaceship. I don't have instruments, not even a sextant. Suppose we try it one piece at a time, Captain. We don't seem to be falling fast, and... Oop! What's the trouble, Jake?
Pop turned pale. Sweat broke out. He clenched his jaws, swallowed, and re-swallowed. Then his lips barely opened.
Seasick. No, you're space sick. Dee Dee.
Yes, sir?
Emergency kit, back of my seat. Unzip it, get Lomine. One pill. Don't let the others get loose.
I got at the first aid kit, found a tube marked Lomine. A second pill did get loose, but I snatched it out of the air. Free fall is funny. You don't know whether you are standing on your head or floating sideways. Here, Captain. Pop said,
All right now. Just took all over queer a moment. Sure you're all right. You can take this pill, or you can have it pushed down your throat with my dirty, calloused finger. Which?
Captain, I'd have to have water to swallow it. And I don't think I can.
Doesn't take water, pal. Chew it. Tastes good. Raspberry flavor. Then keep gulping your saliva. Here.
Zebediah pinched Pop's nostrils.
Open up.
I became aware of a strangled sound beside me. Aunt Hilda had a hanky pressed to her mouth, and her eyes were streaming tears. She was split seconds from adding potato salad and used sandwich to the cabin air. Good thing I was still clutching that wayward pill. Aunt Hilda struggled, but she's a little bitty. I treated her the way my husband had treated her husband, then clamped my hand over her mouth. I don't understand seasickness or free-fall nausea. I can walk on bulkheads with a sandwich in one hand and a drink in the other and enjoy it. But the victims really are sick and somewhat out of their heads. So I held her mouth closed and whispered into her ear, "Chew it, Auntie darling, and swallow it." Shortly, I could feel her chewing. After several minutes, she relaxed. I asked her, "Is it safe for me to ungag you?" She nodded. I took my hand away. She smiled wanly and patted my hand.
"Thanks, Dee Dee. Can we kiss and make up?"
Mars, Barsoom, seemed to have grown while I was curing Aunt Hilda's space sickness. Our men were talking astrogation. My husband was saying,
"Sorry, but at extreme range, Gay's radar can see 1,000 kilos. You tell me our distance is about 100 times that."
"About. We're falling toward Mars. Captain, we must do it by triangulation."
"Not even a protractor where I can get at it. How?"
If the captain pleases, recall how you worked that Tennessee windage.
My darling looked like a schoolboy caught making a silly answer.
"Jake, if you don't quit being polite when I'm stupid, I'm going to space you and put Dee Dee in the co-pilot seat. No, we need you to get us home. I'd better resign and you take over."
"Zeb, a captain can't resign while his ship is underway. That's universal."
"This is another universe."
"Transuniversal. As long as you are alive, you are stuck with it. Let's attempt that triangulation."
"Stand by to record."
Zebediah settled into his seat, pressed his head against its rest.
"Co-pilot?"
"Ready to record, sir."
"Damn."
"Trouble, Captain?"
"Some. This reflectosite is scaled 15 mils on a side, concentric circles crossed at center point, horizontally and vertically. Normal to deck and parallel to deck, I mean. When I center the 15 mil ring on Mars, I have a border around it. I'm going to have to guesstimate. The border looks to be about 18 mils wide. So double that and add 30. 66 mils. And a mil is 1 to 1,000. 1 to 1,000 and 18 and a whisker, actually. But 1 to 1,000 is good enough. Wait a half. I've got two sharp highlights near the meridian. If the polar caps mark the meridian. Let me tilt this buggy and put a line crossing them. Then I'll yaw, and what we can't measure in one jump, we'll catch in three.
I saw the larger, upper polar cap. North? South? Well, it felt north. Roll gently about 80 degrees, while my husband fiddled with Gay's manual controls.
29.5, maybe. Plus 18.7, plus 16.3. Add.
My father answered,
64 and a half.
While I said, 64.5 in my mind and kept quiet.
Who knows the diameter of Mars, or shall I ask Gay?
Hilda answered, 6,750 kilometers, near enough. Plenty near enough for Zebediah's estimates. Zebediah said,
Sharpie, how did you happen to know that?
I read comic books. You know, Zap, Polaris is missing.
I don't read comic books.
Lots of interesting things in comic books, Zebby. I thought the Aerospace Force used comic book instruction manuals. My darling's ears turned red.
Some are, he admitted, but they are edited for technical accuracy. Maybe I had better check that figure with Gay.
I love my husband, but sometimes women must stick together. Don't bother, Zebediah, I said in chilly tones. Aunt Hilda is correct. The polar diameter of Mars is 6752.8 plus. But surely three significant figures is enough for your data. Zebediah did not answer, but did not ask his computer. Instead, he said,
Copilot, will you run it off on your pocket calculator? We can treat it as a tangent at this distance.
This time, I didn't even try to keep still. Zebediah's surprise that Hilda knew anything about astronomy caused me pique. Our height above surface is 104,672 kilometers, plus or minus the error of the data supplied. That assumes that Mars is spherical and ignores the edge effect or horizon bulge, negligible for the quality of your data. Zebediah answered so gently that I was sorry that I had shown off.
Thank you, Dee Dee. Would you care to calculate the time to fall to surface from rest at this point?
That's an unsmooth integral, sir. I can approximate it, but Gay can do it faster and more accurately. Why not ask her? But it will be many hours.
I had hoped to take a better look. Jake, Gay has enough juice to put us into a tight orbit, I think. But I don't know where or when I'll be able to juice her again. If we simply fall, the air will get stale and we'll need the panic button, or some maneuver without ever seeing the surface close up. Captain, would it suit you to read the diameter again? I don't think we've simply been falling.
Pop and Zebediah got busy again. I let them alone, and they ran even the simplest computations through Gay. Presently, Pop said,
Over 24 kilometers per second. Captain, at that rate, we'll be there in a little over an hour. Except that we'll scram before that. But ladies, you'll get your closer look. Dead sea bottoms and green giants, if any.
Zebediah, 24 kilometers per second is Mars' orbital speed. My father answered,
Why, so it is.
He looked very puzzled, then said,
Captain, I confess to a foolish mistake. Not one that will keep us from getting home, I hope. No, sir. I'm still learning what our Continua craft can do. Captain, we did not aim for Mars. I know, I was chicken. No, sir, you were properly cautious. We aimed for a specific point in empty space. We transited to that point, but not with Mars' proper motion. With that of the solar system, yes. With Earth's motion subtracted, that is in the program. But we are a short distance ahead of Mars in its orbit, so it is rushing toward us.
Does that mean we can never land on any planet but Earth?
Not at all. Any vector can be included in the program, either before or after transition, translation, or rotation. Any subsequent change in motion is taken into account by the inertial integrator. But I am learning that we still have things to learn.
Jake, that is true even of a bicycle. Quit worrying and enjoy the ride. Brother, what a view!
Pop, that doesn't look like the photographs the Mars expedition brought back.
Of course not, said Aunt Hilda. I said it was Barsoom.
I kept my mouth shut. Ever since Dr. Sagan's photographs, anyone who reads the National Geographic, or anything, knows what Mars looks like. But when it involves changing male minds, it is better to let men reach their own decisions. They become somewhat less pig-headed. That planet rushing toward us was not the Mars of our native sky. White clouds at the caps, big green areas that had to be forest or crops, one deep blue area that almost certainly was water. All this against ruddy shades that dominated much of the planet. What was lacking were the rugged mountains and craters and canyons of our planet Mars. There were mountains, but nothing like the Devil's Junkyard known to science. I heard Zebediah say,
Co-pilot, are you certain you took us to Mars? Captain, I took us to Mars 10 via plus on tau axis. Either that or I'm a patient in a locked ward.
Take it easy, Jake. It doesn't resemble Mars as much as Earth 10 resembles Earth.
May I point out that we saw just a bit of Earth 10 on a moonless night?
Meaning we didn't see it. Conceded.
Aunt Hilda said, I told you it was Barsoom. You wouldn't listen.
Hilda, I apologize. Barsoom. Co-pilot, log it. New planet Barsoom, named by right of discovery by Hilda Corners Burrows, science officer of Continua Craft Gay Deceiver. We'll all witness. ZJ Carter, commanding. Jacob J. Burrows, chief officer. DTB Carter, astrogator. I'll send certified copies to Harvard Observatory as soon as possible.
I'm not astrogator, Zebediah.
Mutiny. Who reprogrammed this cloudbuster into a Continua craft? I'm pilot until I can train all of you in Gay's little quirks. Jake is co-pilot until he can train more co-pilots in setting the verniers. You are astrogator, because nobody else can acquire your special knowledge of programming and skill at calculation. None of your lip, young woman, and don't fight the law of space. Sharpie is chief of science because of her breadth of knowledge. She not only recognized a new planet as not being Mars quicker than anyone else, but carved up that double-jointed alien with the skill of a born butcher. Right, Jake?
Sure thing,
agreed Pop. Cap'n Zebby, Aunt Hilda drawled. I'm science officer if you say so, but I had better be ship's cook, too, and cabin boy.
Certainly. We all have to wear more than one hat. Log it, co-pilot. Here's to our jolly cabin girl, the plucky little nipper.
Don't finish it, Zebby, Aunt Hilda cut in. I don't like the way the plot develops.
She carves fake ranger, dubs planet stranger, and dazzles crew and skipper.
Aunt Hilda looked thoughtful. That's not the classic version. I like the sentiment better, though the scansion limps.
Sharpie, darling, you are a Phloxenos annihilapilificatrix.
Is that a compliment?
Certainly. Means you're so sharp you spot the slightest flaw.
I kept quiet. It was possible that Zebediah meant it as a compliment. Just barely. Maybe I'd better check it in a dictionary.
By all means, dear, after you are off watch.
I dismissed the matter. Miriam microfilm was all we had aboard, and Aunt Hilda would not find that word in anything less than the OED.
Co-pilot, got it logged?
Captain, I didn't know we had a log.
No log? Even Vanderdecken keeps a log. Didi, the log falls in your department. Take your father's notes, get what you need from Gay, and let's have a taut ship. First time we pass a Woolworths, we'll pick up a journal and you can transcribe it. Notes taken now are your rough log.
Aye, aye, sir. Tyrant.
Tyrant, sir, please. Meanwhile, let's share the binoculars and see if we can spot any colorful exotic natives in colorful exotic costumes, singing colorful exotic songs with their colorful exotic hands out for bakshish. First one to spot evidence of intelligent life gets to wash the dishes.
15. Hilda. I was so flattered by Captain Zebby's crediting me with discovering Barsoom that I pretended not to understand the jibe he added. It was unlikely Didi would know such a useless word, or my beloved Jacob. It was gallant of Zeb to give in all the way, once he realized that this planet was unlike its analog in our universe. Zebby is a funny one. He wears rudeness like a Halloween mask, afraid that someone will discover the Galahad underneath. I knew that my Barsoom was not the planet of the classic romances. But there are precedents. The first nuclear submarine was named for an imaginary undersea vessel made famous by Jules Verne. An aircraft carrier of the Second Global War had been named Shangri-La for a land as non-existent as Erewhon. The first space freighter had been named for a starship that existed only in the hearts of its millions of fans. The list is endless. Nature copies art. Or, as Didi put it, truth is more fantastic than reality. During that hour, Barsoom rushed at us. It began to swell and swell so rapidly that binoculars were a nuisance, and my heart swelled with it in childlike joy. Didi and I unstrapped so that we could see better, floating just above and behind our husbands while steadying ourselves on their headrests. We were seeing it in half phase, one half dark, the other in sunlight, ochre and umber and olive green and brown, and all of it beautiful. Our pilot and co-pilot did not sightsee. Zebby kept taking sights, kept Jacob busy calculating. At last, he said,
"Co-pilot, if our approximations are correct, at the height at which we will get our first radar range, we will be only a bit over half a minute from crashing. Check?"
"To the accuracy of our data, Captain."
"Too close. I don't fancy arriving like a meteor. Is it time to hit the panic button? Advise, please. But bear in mind that puts us, should put us, 2 clicks over a hot new crater, possibly in the middle of a radioactive cloud. Ideas?"
"Captain, we can do that just before crashing, and it either works or it doesn't. If it works, that radioactive cloud will have had more time to blow away. If it doesn't work..."
"We'll hit so hard, we'll hardly notice it. Gay Deceiver isn't built to re-enter at 24 clicks per second. She's beefed up, but she's still a Ford, not a re-entry vehicle."
"Captain, I can try to subtract the planet's orbital speed. We've time to make the attempt."
"Fasten seatbelts and report. Move it, gals."
Freefall is funny stuff. I was over that deathly sickness, was enjoying weightlessness, but didn't know how to move in it, nor did Didi. We floundered the way one does the first time on ice skates, only worse.
"Report, damn it."
Didi got a hand on something, grabbed me, we started getting into seats, she in mine, I in hers.
"Strapping down, Captain," she called out while frantically trying to loosen my belts to fit her.
I was doing the same in reverse.
"Speed it up,"
Didi reported.
"Seatbelts fastened."
While still getting her chest belt buckled by squeezing out all her breath, I reached over and helped her loosen it.
"Co-pilot."
"Captain."
"Along one axis, subtract vector 24 clicks per second, and for God's sake, don't get the signs reversed."
"I won't."
"Execute."
Seconds later, Jacob reported.
"That does it, Captain, I hope."
"Let's check. 2 readings, 10 seconds apart. I'll call the first, you call the end of 10 seconds. Mark."
Zeb added. 1.2, record. After what seemed a terribly long time, Jacob said, 7 seconds, 8 seconds, 9 seconds, mark. Our men conferred, then Jacob said, Captain, we are still falling too fast.
Of course, said Didi. We've been accelerating from gravity. Escape speed for Mars is 5 clicks per second. If Barsoom has the same mass as Mars...
Thank you, Astrogator. Jake, can you trim off 4 clicks per second?
Sure.
Do it.
Done. How does she look?
Distance slowly closing. Hello, Gay.
Howdy, Zeb.
Program radar, target dead ahead, range.
No reading.
Continue ranging. Report first reading, add program, display running radar ranges to target.
Program running. Who blacked your eye?
You're a smart girl, Gay.
I'm sexy, too. Over.
Continue program.
Zeb sighed, then said,
Co-pilot, there's atmosphere down there. I plan to attempt to ground. Comment? Advice?
Captain, those are words I hope to hear. Let's go.
Barsoom, here we come.
16. Jake. My beloved bride was no more eager than I to visit Barsoom. I had been afraid that our captain would do the sensible thing. Establish orbit, take pictures, then return to our own space-time before our air was stale. We were not prepared to explore strange planets. Gay Deceiver was a bachelor's sports car. We had a little water, less food, enough air for about 3 hours. Our craft refreshed its air by the scoop method. If she made a high jump, her scoop valves sealed from internal pressure just as did commercial ballistic hypersonic intercontinental liners. But high jump is not space travel. True, we could go from point to point in our own or any universe in null time, but how many heavenly bodies have breathable atmospheres? Countless billions, but a small fraction of 1% from a practical viewpoint. And no publication lists their whereabouts. We had no spectroscope, no star catalogs, no atmosphere testing equipment, no radiation instruments, no means of detecting dangerous organisms. Columbus with his cockle shells was better equipped than we. None of this worried me. Reckless? Do you pause to shop for an elephant gun while an elephant is chasing you? 3 times we had escaped death by seconds. We had evaded our killers by going to Earth, and that safety had not lasted. So again, we fled like rabbits. At least once, every human should have to run for his life, to teach him that milk does not come from supermarkets, that safety does not come from policemen, that news is not something that happens to other people. He might learn how his ancestors lived, and that he himself is no different. In the crunch, his life depends on his agility, alertness, and personal resourcefulness. I was not distressed. I felt more alive than I had felt since the death of my first wife. Underneath the persona each shows the world lies a being different from the mask. My own persona was a professional archetype. Underneath? Would you believe a maiden knight? Eager to break a lance? I could have avoided military service, married, a father, protected profession. But I spent 3 weeks in basic training, sweating with the rest, cursing drill instructors, and loving it. Then they took my rifle, told me I was an officer, gave me a swivel chair and a useless job. I never forgave them for that. Hilda, until we married, I knew not at all. I had valued her as a link to my lost love, but I had thought her a lightweight, a social butterfly. Then I found myself married to her and learned that I had unnecessarily suffered lonely years. Hilda was what I needed. I was what she needed. Jane had known it and blessed us when at last we knew it. But I still did not realize the diamond-hard quality of my tiny darling until I saw her dissecting that pseudo-ranger. Killing that alien was easy. But what Hilda did, I almost lost my supper. Hilda is small and physically weak. I'll protect her with my life, but I won't underrate her again. Zeb is the only one of us who looks the part of intrepid explorer. Tall, broad-shouldered, strongly muscled, skilled with machines and with weapons, and sine qua non, cool-headed in crisis and gifted with the voice of command. One night I had been forced to reason with my darling. Hilda felt that I should lead our little band. I was oldest. I was inventor of the time-space distorter. It was all right for Zeb to pilot, but I must command. In her eyes, Zeb was somewhere between an overage adolescent and an affectionate Saint Bernard. She pointed out that Zeb claimed to be a coward by trade and did not want responsibility.